Sweet humble prayer. Thank God for it. Thank God for the fellowship we've had already in the way of being able to greet one another. And I believe because we have a love for one another, it's just good to see each other here. And then to be able to join together in singing the songs that honor and glorify the Lord. It's been just a great privilege and a joy for me tonight. I trust for you as well. I have had my mind on several passages of scripture today, and sometimes have a difficult time trying to settle on exactly where the Lord would have me be. So I do ask for your prayers tonight as we look at the Word of God together, that we would follow, as Brother Mike said, the leadership of the Lord and give to you that which He would have us give rather than something that would be of me or any man. If it's of the Lord, it'll be good for us. And if it's from someplace else, it's whether it's me or anyone else, it's not going to be. So you just pray the Lord would give to us tonight from His Word the things that we truly stand in need of. There's a particular book of the Psalms that I'd like to read in your hearing tonight. Whether we stay with that or not, we'll try to follow the leadership of the Spirit in regard to that. But Psalm 42, I'd like to call your attention to tonight. We have a hymn in our hymnals that is directly from this psalm, and so I'm sure this psalm will be not only familiar to you, but the hymn that we sing that's from this psalm, I'm sure will come to your memory as well as we read it together, and if the Lord will bless us, talk about it for a little while. Psalm 42 begins at verse 1. Says to the chief musician Maschal and the sons of Korah, he says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat night, day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, and of the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Thankful that the psalmist here writes to us by inspiration of God to let us know that at times in life, we're going to have very hard and difficult times. There are many who have the idea and the thought that if you're a child of God, if you are a son or a daughter of the Lord, that your life as a child of God will always be happy and joyful and no sorrow, no complaints, no sickness, no problems. And if you have those things as a little child of God, it's evidence that you're outside of the will of God and there's something absolutely wrong that either you have done or you are doing. And that in order to get it right, you need to get things straightened up. Now, indeed, there are times in our lives that we do suffer the consequences of sin. We all know that. We have problems that come in our lives because we have disregarded the clear teachings of God's Word and have walked in a way that's contrary to the Bible, contrary to the Spirit of God which dwells in our hearts. And rather than follow the Lord, we've gone another course. We've talked recently about the prodigal son and how he got in such a mess, and the mess he got in, he got in out of direct disobedience to the Lord and to the Father, and he left the good things of the Father's house and went out into the world and wasted his living with riotous, wasted his substance with riotous living. And we know a great deal of heartache comes on all men and women, and especially God's children in this world, when we try to live and act and behave in a way that is displeasing to the Lord. The Lord is going to chasten us as His children. We can disobey Him and disregard Him and walk away from Him, but we'll not do so happily and without consequence. Just as sure as we walk in our own willful ways and ignore the things of God, we will suffer as a result of that. And that is very, very clearly taught in the Word of God. It teaches us that whatsoever a man soweth, he shall also reap. And if we sow to the flesh, we'll of the flesh reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we'll of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And they are certainly clear promises given throughout God's Word. There's also something that God's little children ought to know, that just because we're following the Lord and looking to the Lord and leaning upon the Lord doesn't mean that every day and every moment of our life is going to go smooth. There are going to be, just as a result of living in this world, some hard and difficult times, and even some of those hard and difficult times are necessary for us as God's children to truly appreciate what the Lord has done for us. Sometimes it's a hard lesson for us to understand that we're going through a hard or a difficult time, and it's even according to the very will of God that we're going through it, that He either suffers it to be, sometimes He may even bring it upon us, as we've said, because of disobedience. But there are other times that He suffers it to be, going through the temptations that come our way, going through the trials that come our way, we're living in an untoward generation, and this world is not a friend to the little child of grace to help us on to God. Now, that's important for God's little children to know, because some of God's little children don't know that. And they feel like, well, if you're sick, well, you must have done something wrong, or you don't have faith enough just to believe and get well, and that God never intended us to ever have any problems or troubles in this world, but we're going to be conquerors. Now, get this, we are going to be conquerors, but not necessarily in the way the world thinks of conquerors, not necessarily in the way that the world would regard success, not in the necessarily in the way that the world regards prosperity, because what is it to be really, truly prosperous in the Lord? Does it mean that we'll always have wealth? Does it mean that we'll always have health? Does it mean that we'll always have everything that we ever wanted or wished for in this world? And the answer to that is absolutely, positively not. We're even told to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, and that we have something much more valuable and a treasure that's not in the that can be carried in the bags of this world, and that if we try to lay up for ourselves treasures in this world, we'll miss the true treasures that are laid up for us. And when our heart gets off track and gets on other things, we really miss what life is all about. And here in this psalm, the psalmist gives us a wonderful, wonderful lesson to God's little children about how we're to handle those hard and difficult times. And first of all, that they're sure to come. And then how we're to handle them. How we're to get through them. What are we to do as God's little children when it seems like, as he says here in this verse 7, verse 7 just sums it up for me. He says, "Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts." That means like pain comes right after the other pain. Trouble comes right after the other trouble. Before you get through this problem, another one's come up. Before you get through this attack, seems like you got another attack coming. The old devil gives you a fit. The world gives you a fit. Your old self gives you a fit. And the next thing you know, you feel like, well, what in this world am I even his or not? If I'm going through this and having this hard time, why would it be that I'm having that? And then the world cries out, why is it that you're having that if you're really one of God's little children? Why is it that you're going through all of this? And you have that battle. And if we didn't have in the Bible some great example laid out for us as this passage to let us know that this indeed is the standard or the way that God's little children, the experience of God's little children in this world, we might begin and sometimes surely do begin to question, could I really even be the Lord's if I'm having this trouble and that trouble and this other thing? Now listen, little child of God, just because you're having trouble in this world doesn't mean you're outside of the will of God. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that if any man will live godly in Christ Jesus, he shall suffer persecution. There's going to be problems in this world. Jesus said, I come not to bring peace, but I come to bring a sword. And as sure as you and I understand the truth, and we want to live by the truth, and we want to act according to the truth, and we want to behave in a way that's pleasing to God, we're going to have enemies in this world that'll try to make you just as miserable as you possibly can be. David had them, and he writes about that here in this psalm and tells us about them. And so if you and I are going to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, this world isn't going to be your friend to help you on to God. And he says that, and we begin right in verse 1. First of all, he says something wonderful. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. I hope that's an expression that you really feel in your heart, in your life tonight. And not only tonight, but in the past, but also in the future. I hope you and I both recognize how much we really, really need the Lord in everything. I need Him. I need Him to... If He doesn't tell me what to do, I don't know what to do. If He doesn't give me wisdom to understand His Word, I'm totally ignorant of what He's pinned down. I can read the print. I can understand the English. I might even be able to go get a concordance out and grab and look at a little Hebrew, a little Greek, and try to figure all of that out by my own mentality. But the world by wisdom didn't come to know God, does it? But the Bible says the world by wisdom knew not God. It also tells us that these things are hidden from the wise and prudent, and they're revealed unto babes. It tells us that we'll know these things only by the same revelation that was given unto the apostles, that has to be given to every man, woman, boy, and girl. We only know them not with the natural eye. The eye hath not seen, the ear hath not heard, neither is entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. We have to know them by the same way, and that is by the Spirit of Almighty God. And in order to understand that, we have to have fellowship with the Lord. I need Him. I need Him right now as I make this effort to speak to you and preach the gospel. I need the Lord's blessing. You need the Lord's blessing in order to be able to hear the gospel preached and be able to understand it and to be able to feed on it. And then you'll need the Lord to bless you to be able to put it into place in your life and wear it and be clothed, have your loins girt about with the truth and go forth out into this world wearing the armor of God. You'll need Him for the helmet that you need to protect your head. You'll need Him for the breastplate of righteousness that you're to wear and the shoes that are your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You'll need Him for the sword of the Spirit. You'll need Him for the shield of faith. You'll need Him to put on the whole armor of God. And that whole armor of God is indeed just Him. You need to not only talk about Him tonight, but believe in the things we talk about, and then take the name of Jesus with you and go out into this world and live in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. And here the psalmist writes, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. And I know I probably shared this before, but it comes to my mind. I watched those antelopes and those little deer going down to get a drink of water. And even if they know There's crocodiles in the water, or animals that are sitting waiting on the side, ready to attack. The driving force of the thirst that they have makes them want to go and give it a. They're going to give it a shot, even though they might just creep up to it, or they'll go and get that drink of water, and can't hardly anything keep them from that water, because that water will quench that thirst that they have. And the reason they have that thirst is because they're alive. You'll never see a dead little deer ever want to take a drink, because it's not a dead deer that wants to drink. It's a living deer that wants to drink. And they have the thirst because they are alive. And they're alive because God has given them life. If they don't have any life, they don't have any thirst. And the world by nature would not, and we by nature would not have any thirst for the things of God. So tonight, if you are one who has a thirst for the things of God, if you're here tonight hoping the Lord will bless you to learn something from His Word, if you're here tonight in hopes that you'll be able by the grace of God to really praise the Lord and thank Him for how good He's been to you as a little child of grace, how much He's blessed you with naturally, how much He's watched over you down through the years, and you're here because you want to hear the gospel preached, you want to join in with the singing in order to praise the Lord, you want to bow your head and pray with the brethren as they pray, you want to reach out and hug the brethren because you love Jesus and you know they love Jesus, and in reaching out and embracing them, you feel that that's about as close to reaching out and hugging my Savior as I can, because in as much as I do it to the least of my brethren, I do it unto Him. And your desire is to be here tonight to serve Him. If you have that hunger and that thirst, as a matter of fact, you have a great need that you know I can't get filled everywhere. You know, we sang that hymn, "You may sing of the beauty of hill and dale, but the place most delightful this world can afford is the place of devotion, the house of the Lord." In other words, of all the places in this world, of all the sights that I've seen, of all of the beauties that I've beheld, of all the mountains that I've looked down from the top of, or been in the valley and looked up to, there's no place like the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no sound like the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no sound like the singing of the hymns of God's little saints and children, and they're making praise and adoration unto the God of heaven. There's no feeling like getting down on your knees with a little brother or a little sister and praying and looking to the Lord together for that which you stand in need of. This has been the place that I found hope and strength and help and light. And the reason that it is this is the house indeed of the Lord. It's not a place for idol worship. It's not a place for idols to be. Listen, I don't just need a God, neither do you. I just don't need some faith in something, neither do you. I need the living God. I need the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. I need the God who had a love for His people, that He loved them so much He sent His only begotten Son. I need a God who sent the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus who was verily God. I need a God who is a Savior. I need a God who had not just a hope or a wish, but had a plan and a purpose in saving His people from their sins. I need a God who has all power and all might and all strength. And there isn't just any God. Listen, if we make a God and choose another God, we've made someone just as weak and as little as we are. We need a mighty God and a powerful God. I need a God who could reach down and find me, not one I can look for and find. Amen. And thanks be to God, we have. If you have a hunger tonight and you have a thirst, it's because the Lord quickened you and He made you alive. And you know you need Him. Do you know you need Him? I hope you really feel it. I hope the gospel will penetrate in your ears to cause you to really feel that I need Him. Listen, I need Him to keep my marriage intact. I need Him to keep my life intact. I need Him to help me be the kind of person on the job that I ought to be. I need Him to help me live my life in a way that I'll be a blessing to my children. I need Him to be a good pastor. And you need Him to be a good member, so that we will walk in this world as long as we live in a way to honor and glorify the God of heaven. And listen, He's been so good to all of us. May the Lord bless us to be what we're supposed to be in honor and in praise to Him. And I need His fellowship in order to do that. The psalmist says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, as the little deer, that's what that is. It's not a H-E-A-R-T. It's a H-R-T, which is a deer. And he's longing. This little deer is panting and longing, crying out for the water brooks. And see, that's what a deer wants, because he's a deer and he needs the water to drink. And a little child of God pants in his soul after the fellowship of Almighty God. And that's what he says and cries unto God. Listen, when you can't feel him, cry to him. His ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. His arm is not shortened that he can't reach down. We have a God who can, as God's little children, cry up. It's because he's worked a great work of grace in their heart. And when they call out unto the Lord, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Listen, an idol can't do that, can it? No way. It can't do that. But I'll tell you who does do it, and he does it regularly, and he does it without any help from man. And somebody might say, "Well, I could see an idol, but I can't see your God." Aren't you glad tonight we can't see our God? Because the God we serve, our God is a spirit, and they that worship him, he's the invisible God. Somebody might say, "Where is your God?" Psalm 115 answers that question. Our God is in the heavens, isn't he? And he's done what? Whatsoever he hath pleased. That means he doesn't check in with us and see if it's okay. He doesn't call Gary up and say, "Gary, can I do this? Can I do that?" He works his will among the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. And there is none, absolutely none, that can say to him, "Oh, why doest thou? Or what doest thou?" We're not to question him. And sometimes he leads us down into the valley of tribulation and trouble, that you and I might learn and grow. He's not the author of sin, neither indeed could be. He's not the author of confusion. I never let it be said that I've ever appointed and said that. But I'm telling you, God at times suffers his little children to go through some hard and difficult times, some lonely times. You look at the life of Job and see how God suffered that dear brother to be tried in some very hard and difficult ways. And yet Job, in his faith, came shining through and said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." And he depended upon the Lord. And that's what the psalmist is telling us here. Sometimes life is rough. Maybe rough for you right now. If it's not, I'm thankful. But hang in there a while. It'll get that way. It'll get that way for all of us. We'll have some times we need him in the night. We'll have some deep that calleth unto deep. What that means is, before this trouble's gone, another one comes. And the water spouts are talking about the afflictions and troubles that God's little children face in this world. Just as a matter of us being here in this world. And the noise, and notice though, it's not just any water spout. It's the Lord's water spout. He says, "Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts, all thy waves and thy billows." Whose waves? His waves. And whose billows? His billows. Which means the valley of affliction is sometimes where God's little children are led through, that we might grow in ways we could never grow anywhere else. Some of the most difficult times our nations have ever felt has caused our people to be stronger than they were ever before. And sometimes the reason we see such weakness among our nation is because we've had so much good time for so long, we've taken for granted what the Lord has done for us. And listen, that's true of a nation. It's also true of a church. Listen, when a church goes through a hard and difficult time, though it can be heartbreaking, it'll draw them closer together as God's little children, because they'll realize, listen, the preacher might mess up, but the Lord never has. The membership might mess up and fail, and we need to approach them with forgiveness and love, but our God has never failed us, and oh, he's been so good. How much has he forgiven you of? How much has he forgiven me of? And if he's forgiven us of so much, how could we not forgive one another? And you know, if we just had to get along by our own way, we'd soon be all split up. We'd be fighting and fussing and feuding real quick. Sometimes we get that way. Shame on us. It can happen to families. It can happen to a church. It is happening to our nation right now, because everybody's eye is on everybody except the Lord. May brethren, may I be on the Lord as a little band of believers tonight. May we not hope and trust in any man or any group of men or any political party or anything else, but may our trust be in the Lord, who can give us a good leader, or He could give us a leader that would lead us in the way Nebuchadnezzar led, not necessarily so good at the moment for God's little children, but in the midst of that trouble, you find a Daniel, don't you? In the midst of that trouble, you find a Shadrach and a Meshach and a Abednego. In the midst of that trouble, you see the mighty power of God taking care of His children. In the midst of those trials, we don't know what's coming in our life. We don't know what we're going to face. We have no promises that everything's going to be a rose garden. As a matter of fact, God has not promised. Sky is always blue. But He has promised strength as our day. Rest when we labor, and light along the way. Good hymn. Good hymn. Because it speaks the truth of where we have one to hope in and trust in. Even when it seems all hope is gone. Now, let's go on with this just a little bit. I think I'm going to stay here. He said this. He said, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God." Oh, get that. He's not thirsting just for a God. Some people are looking around now, and the next thing you know, they'll make a man of God. Beware of that. When a man becomes everything to you, and you think he's all the answers, we've just made a little God out of him. And I'm telling you, he's a little God. He'll never be a big God. There's only one who has all the answers. Aren't you thankful for that? That's the Lord. And one thing you want to see in any leader is that he has wisdom enough to know he doesn't know it all, and that the Lord is the one we have to look to. And you want to see a wise man, you see a man who's trusting in the Lord and recognizing that if I'm going to be a leader, I'm going to need the Lord to give me the strength. I'm going to need the Lord to give me the wisdom. I'm going to need to be praying to Him and asking Him to forgive me of where I failed and I've done wrong, and that I'm going to need Him to guide me and direct me. And if a man's not looking to the Lord, he'll lead you down the wrong path, whether it be a politician or a preacher. You want your preachers to be begging to the Lord. You want your leaders in the political field to be begging and looking to the Lord. You want them leaning upon the Lord. They're sure to make mistakes. And the one who thinks he's never made any is not going to be a good one. A preacher or a politician. And certainly we don't need our preachers to be politicians. Preachers are to preach, aren't they? They're to preach. They're to preach. And they're to preach what? What the Lord gives them. And they're to preach not to please the people, but to please the Lord. And I'll tell you, if you please the Lord, you'll help God's people. And if you don't please the Lord, you'll hurt the little children of God, even if every one of them likes you and are happy with you. You won't be a benefit to them. Here the dear brother says, "As my soul thirsteth for God." Who? For the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? What he's talking about is when they could come under the old law service, and they came in, all the males of Israel came in 3 times a year at the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of the Tabernacles and the Feast of the Passover. And they all presented themselves. You know, that was a glorious time under the old law service when they all could come in the presence of the Lord, and they felt his presence and saw the beauty of the tabernacle. But I'll tell you, you and I have a little better place than that right here tonight. We have the place where the Lord's placed His name. We have 2 or 3 that are gathered together in His name to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And you know what the Lord said? Where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, I am there. I am in the midst of them. And He's there to bless us and to give us what we need. Tonight, I hope you didn't come to see me, because all you saw is just a big mess. It's just a big mess. But if you're here tonight to see the Lord and to honor Him and to glorify Him, you'll see one that is perfect from the top of His head to the bottom of His feet. You'll see a Savior who's sufficient to carry us from this low ground of sin and sorrow to be with Him in heaven. You'll see one who's able to take care of you in every single way and every need that you ever have in your life. When you go through those hard and difficult times that you're sure to go through, your house will stand because it's built upon a rock and you have fellowship with the Lord. And that's a great promise that we see in this psalm. He says, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" In other words, I'm longing for a church meeting. I hope you go all week longing for Sunday. You know, some people go all week dreading Sunday. Say, "Oh, sure, I got it. Here's another Sunday. Got to go. Put in my 30 minutes, my 40 minutes with Old Baptist, my hour and a half. And check my list and go on. I got that one done. I've done my duty for the week. And now let me go on and live my life, do my thing until I have to go next week in order to check the list again. I'm telling you, the man or the woman or any of us that have that kind of mindset, our religion is vain. It's an empty religion. I'll tell you what I find. I come to church sometimes if I'm going to stand scared to death, but I long to come. And if I know another preacher is going to be there, I really long to come. Y'all know I show it. I hope I show it. I want to see him. I want to hear him. I love to hear the gospel. I love to hear that wonderful sound of Jesus and his shed blood that would save an old sinner like me. That he had that kind of love for me before the very foundation of the world. That I didn't have to do anything to get in it, but was chosen in it by the Lord himself. And that then he works in me. If I have to meet him halfway, I'm in trouble. And so are you. But he came and did that. Isn't that a wonderful sound? I love to sing it. I love to preach it. I love to hear it preach. I love to see it in the ordinances of communion. I love to see it in the ordinance of baptism. I love to hear that same message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. I love it preached from the Old Testament. I love it preached from the New Testament. I love it from any of God's little ministers that he's blessed, whether they have 1 or 10 talents. Every one of them is needed and necessary in the house of God. And I love to see God's children put that truth on and carry it and live it and walk in this world. It makes them humble. It makes them loving. It makes them lovable. It makes them beautiful. We sing a hymn that many people might not understand. Lord, how delightful 'tis to see a whole assembly worship Thee. At once they sing, at once they pray. They hear of heaven and learn the way. Somebody look at our old Baptist church and say, I don't see anything delightful about that. I just see a little band of people, not too many. Just a little flock. Well, I want you to know there's good news to the little flock. He says, fear not, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure. Listen, it's not just your pleasure. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you, that's righteousness and joy and peace and the Holy Ghost. And when you see a little band of believers gathered together, it is delightful to me. It's that place that most cheers me in this world. And that's what the psalmist is saying. He said, when shall I come and appear before God? When can I get back to church? And oh, if that's not where we are, let us be on our knees saying, God, restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation. Restore unto me that zeal and that desire. You may have at one point remembered a time where church was like that for you. And now it's grown a little colder. Do we get a little colder sometimes along the way? Is that something we ought to just say, okay, I'm a little colder, let it just go? No. Brethren, we ought to say, Lord, make me just as hungry today as I've ever been, and more so. May we be like little Sister Charlotte, who used to say every meeting was the best meeting. Because when she came and she went home and she told her family, this meeting, said, well, how was church today? It's the best meeting I've ever been to. And they'd say, how could it be? They even thought she was not really getting so much because she said that and just seemed to be a pattern. Listen, she didn't say it just to say something. She said it because that meeting was the last one she'd been to, and it meant more to her than anyone else, anything else she'd had. And guess what? The next meeting she goes to is going to be, with that mindset, the exact thing, same thing. It's the best meeting I've ever gone to. And oh, if it's not that way with us, may the Lord stir our hearts and stir our memory. May we remember how good He's been to us, and may we be so thankful that we have a place to come. And that we have a preacher to preach. As poor as he is, that the Lord would bless him to preach. Because you know, if the Lord doesn't bless him, y'all know this old boy. If the Lord doesn't bless him, he's a mess. He's just a mess. And those who know me the most know how big the mess really is. Those who know me best know that. Without the Lord, we can do nothing. But the brother prayed that, didn't he? He said, without you, Lord, we can do nothing. That's a little hard. Saying, I need Thee, Lord, I need Thee. And without Him, I can't do anything. I'm not fit for anything. If that marriage is going to work, it's going to have to be in the Lord that it works. And that means you're going to have to look to Him and lean upon Him. And I'm telling you, what He's able to do is you're able in the Lord. I can do what? All things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's a sweet promise from the Lord. But you don't do it outside of His fellowship. You do it in His fellowship. You don't do it outside His strength. You do it in His strength. And I'm telling you, the world will think you're crazy to believe such as this, but God's little children, you already know in your heart what I'm telling you is the truth, don't you? You know that. And you know why? Because I wrote it there. It's because a bigger hand than mine wrote in your heart. Just like He wrote on those tables of stone. He didn't have any trouble with that, did He? When He gave those 10, weren't suggestions, 10 commandments. He wrote with the finger of God, wrote on that stone. I'm telling you, when He wrote on the hearts of God's little children in the new birth, He put your laws in your hearts and in your minds to where you don't need anybody to teach you to know the Lord. Because they all shall know Me from the least to the greatest. What the Bible does is allow you to get your head on track with your heart and what the Lord's put in your heart. And when you hear it, you go like, oh, you should search the Scriptures to be sure that it's true. But it lines up with your heart. You already, oh, that fits me. You might not even know what's going on when you first hear preaching. You say, what in the world? Why is that affecting me so much? What is that running down my face? I've heard brethren say, my sinuses are bothering me. Yeah, your sinuses are bothering you. It's bothering you, all right. The Lord's giving you the heartburn. The Lord's giving you a heart to hear it, a heart to understand it. And you know that you're that sinner that needs Him. And you're that little deer that needs the drink of water. You're that one who needs, I need Him in everything I do. Otherwise, I'm in trouble. And then when the dark hours and the hard times come, you know, you have one to look to. And doesn't mean you're always walking high and walking tall. Sometimes you might be stumbling and barely getting along, but you know this, I got a help that can help a poor old stumbling blind individual like me. I've got one who's my light and my strength, and I can lean and depend upon Him. He says, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? This is a little child of God in trouble in this world, and he's weeping and he's crying. And the folks around him are really helping him out. They're saying, where is your God now? Where is your God now? You're in, look at what a mess you're in. Where is, you got a God? Where is your God? They'll make light of God's little children. And I'm telling you what the Bible says when you're in that state. I'm not saying it's necessarily a right state to be in, because you see that in this psalm. He confesses that I'm messing up, that I should be. He talks to himself. Sometimes we need to do a little talking to ourselves. We need to remind ourselves of what we already know. We need to remember what we've already heard and been taught before. He said this, when they say, where is thy God? Listen what he said in verse 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. And here's what he's talking about remembering. He said, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. In other words, I remember church. That's what he's really saying in our language. I remember the worship. Now, he had it under the old law covenant. Listen, what he had was in types and shadows, and it was beautiful for its day and for its time. But what you and I have is far, far better than what they had. Now, that's not my words on it. Read the whole book of Hebrews. One of the themes of Hebrews is that it's a better covenant. That what we have today is better than what they had under the old law covenant and the law service. The law service pointed to what Jesus was coming to do. What we're doing is telling God's little children about what Jesus has done for us and what He is continuing to do for us, and what and where our help has come from. He says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? He's talking to himself. You ever get there? You feeling so down, feeling so out? You ask yourself that question, why am I cast down, O my soul? Why? And why art thou disquieted in me? Here's the word. Here's your answer. Why am I so troubled? Listen, hope thou in God. Oh, isn't that good tonight? Hope thou in God. Whatever your trouble is, whatever your problem is, you got hope in the Lord. And when you hope in the Lord, you're not just hoping to hope. You're not just hoping in something. You're not just hoping in an idol. You're not just hoping in a man. You're hoping in the one who is able to, who cannot ever fail, who has saved us, who is saving us, and who will continue to save us. Somebody said, well, aren't you once saved, always saved? Eternally speaking, absolutely. Once saved, always saved. But I'm telling you, the salvations of the Lord are many as we live here in this world day by day, hour by hour, and moment by moment. We have that eternal salvation that is in the Lord Jesus Christ that we'll never lose out on because of what He's done for us. But we have in time deliverance every single day. Salvation, if you will. Help, if you will. That comes every day in His manifest presence to us as we face life and its problems. Where can I go? We sing that hymn, but to the Lord. If you don't know what to do, number one, stand still. Call upon the Lord. Wait till He tells you what to do. And then when He tells you what to do, move. And if you call on Him, He will give you the answer. When does He give it? When He sees fit to give it. And when you need it. And when you need it, He'll give it. He will never not give it. When God's little children ask for a good thing, will He give them a bad thing? What does the Bible say? It says He absolutely will give unto His children. If a father knows how to give his children good gifts, will not our Heavenly Father give unto us good gifts? What does He give us? He gives us, listen, surely goodness and mercy shall what? Follow me how long? All the days of my life. That sounds like every day, doesn't it? What is that? God's mercy is with us every day. Do you need it? Absolutely. His goodness is with me every day. He daily loads me with benefits more than I could ever imagine. Everything that I stand in need of. Sometimes we think we need things we really don't need. And that's why we're not to seek those things. But we're to seek first what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness and what will be added unto us. All the things that we need. And He tells us what that is. Food and raiment. And He says, having food and raiment, I guarantee you tonight, all of us have all the food we need and all the raiment we need. I say it this way. We probably have more food than we need. Some of us show that. And we have more raiment than we need. And we've got so much. The Lord has given us so much and been so good to us. We're told not to seek those things, but seek rather to have fellowship with Him. Hope thou in God is what He's saying. For I shall yet, He says, hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. This word help means His salvation, His help, His deliverance. The help of His countenance. What does that mean? Wherever He is, you got help. We sing that hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus. Isn't it wonderful to be able tonight when you're in trouble, our brethren in trouble, we can go to Him in prayer. And we can let our petitions be made known unto God. We can be heard in heaven tonight by the One who has the power to give us the exact things we need. And He knows better what we need than we even know what to ask for. He will withhold from us the things we don't need. And He will give to us the things that we do need. And sometimes what we think we need is absolutely not what we need. We have a God to depend upon and trust in. He says, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Here he goes, talking to the Lord. Now it's always good. Hey, confess before Him. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and from the Hermonites and from the hill Mizar. Brother Mike in his prayer mentioned about remembering all the times the Lord had been with him in different places in his prayer. And that's exactly what David does here. He says, I remember thee from the... who does he remember? He doesn't just remember the thing. He remembers the Lord. When? I don't know what occurred in the land of Jordan necessarily. I have some ideas about it. But I don't know exactly what that is. Or of the Hermonites. Or the hill, or from the hill Mizar. But I believe those were special times in this brother's life where he felt the very presence of the Lord. Do you have some of those memories that you can draw from when you get in a problem? I remember sometimes we prayed when we really knew we were in trouble and didn't know where to go. And we looked to the Lord and the Lord came shining through every time. I remember that, don't you? You call them up. When you get down and out, you call those up. That's what the psalmist said we do. He said, oh God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, because I'm cast down, I'm going to remember when you were with me. I'm going to remember when you've taken care of me in the past. And that memory, that experience is going to work in me hope. Remember, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. That's a wonderful thing to be able to have the experience that helps you have the hope If you've had the Lord deliver you in the past, it gives you hope. He'll deliver me this time. And you see that lesson over and over in God's Word. And then verse 7, we've already talked about the afflictions that come in the life of a little child of God. Notice though, those didn't overwhelm him, because verse 8, he says this, in the midst of those afflictions, he says, yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime. That means when it's daytime, He gives me His loving kindness. You know how often the Lord loves you? Every moment, every day, 24/7. You'll never be separated from His love. And when you're in a troubled place, remember, Jesus loved me. And why does He love you? Not because you deserve it. He loved you because He saw fit to love you. It was His good pleasure to love you. He, fear not, little flock, for it's a Father's good pleasure. It was His good pleasure to love you. He did that. If you read in Ephesians, one thing you'll see, when He redeemed us and forgave us, He did it all according to His own good pleasure. And remember, our God is in the heavens. He had done whatsoever He had pleased. And one thing He pleased to do is to love His people all the time, despite what they did or did not do. He will never, ever stop loving one of His children. He didn't love you because of who you were. He loved you in spite of who you were. His love was shown to Jacob because He saw fit to love Jacob. It wasn't anything lovable in Jacob. You look at his life and see how lovable Jacob was. You know what Jacob would be without the Lord? He would be just the same as you and I without the Lord. We would be, we'd be fit for the dunghill. That's where we'd be. He says, yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime and in the night, that means in the darkest, hardest, most difficult time, His song shall be with me. And I believe that means our song from our heart is praise unto God and praise unto the Savior. And He says, in my prayer unto the God of my life, I will say unto God, my rock. Oh, here is our God. Who's our God? He's a rock. I might feel like I'm in sinking sand, but I got a rock. Isn't it wonderful? If you're in sinking sand, that you have a rock. Oh, we have a rock. Our God is a rock. He's not like anybody else's rock. Our God is not like their God. He's a rock, not like their rock. I mean, we've got a special God, the God of the Bible. And He says, why hast thou forgotten me? Oh, He cried out again. Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy. He says, as with a sword in my bones, my enemy reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Living in a world that's so anti the things of God. But then verse 11 comes again. We're closing with that because it's the last one. He said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. What a wonderful Lord we have to trust in. May the Lord bless us to do it better and better as we live here in this world. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
Get to be a mess up there, brother. Hope it was all right.